to paint the post-match after Liverpool have gone to Aston Villa, got beat by 4-1. I've got Amelia Bonner, Stephanie Sinesian, and I've got Andy Bell with me in order to work through this. And Andy, I mean, in loads of ways, Liverpool just get what they deserve. They're appalling. It's mad to still think this team is in possession of a Champions League place. They are, and they still have their own destiny in their own hands with one game to go. But I thought tonight was in loads of ways the epitome of what's been a stupid season. Almost everything that was doom-brained that Liverpool could do over the course of the night, they managed to do, and Villa got the reward that they deserved.
It's as stupid and fitting an end of the season as I could have imagined it would be. I'm sitting in my phone at 6:45 tonight, wondering if Villa are going to play the same team they played against Tottenham so we have a chance. That's what I've been reduced to, seeing if Villa play a weakened team because they're playing in the Europa League final Wednesday night. And what we're reduced to this week is supporting Leeds United and whoever Bournemouth are playing, Man City.
Man City Tuesday.
We're supporting Leeds United and Man City so that Bournemouth and Brighton don't catch us this season. I mean, like, if that's not as depressing a sentence as you've ever heard, I don't know what is. It's just terrible from Liverpool. I mean, first 20 minutes, we get through it at 0-0. We ride the wave, but we don't ride the wave through any sort of staunch defending of our own, or we keep the shape well, or, you know, we keep it tight and we keep it narrow. We're just lucky that they're quite profligate. Not necessarily in front of goal, but certainly in terms of the pass before the pass, they don't do that. And we get away with it. And it feels like we've steadied the ship. It feels like we've got ourselves into the game. We've got a foothold. And then bang, it's silly from Kirkes. It's silly from Rio Enkiumoa. And it's 1-0. And we go in 1-0 down. And we shoot ourselves in the foot, as we've done so much this season.
And we get back to 1-1.
We do get back to 1-1. And immediately. And you can't particularly account for what happens with Szoboszlai. And this is the thing I was saying. It's every defeat this season, you can talk about mitigating circumstances for each individual one, but when there's 19 of them, there's a systemic problem. And for me, there's been one too many embarrassment this season. We're beating 3 goals at home to Nottingham Forest. We're beating 3 goals at home to PSV. We're beating 3 goals tonight away to Aston Villa. That shouldn't be happening. And if it is happening, it should be a one-off. And there's one too many of those this season. And listen, honestly, I don't see how he survives this. I really don't.
I'll do the manager towards the end. I want to do the way the game plays out, Amelia. And as Andy says, Liverpool do survive the first 20 minutes. They're a side who are in the Europa League final. They're not a terrible football team. They're a good side. Liverpool get to 20 minutes and then they do all right for 15 minutes. But you always feel as though one thing will go wrong and the whole house of cards falls over. And that's what in the end plays out in this. Liverpool do go in 1-0 down, but they're just so repeatedly capable of stepping on any rake they can find.
Yeah, they're Sideshow Bob, like, times 11 is what they are. They it's a game in which, so, like, the first half you can describe in the moment as attritional at best, like, while it's happening. And in hindsight, you can't even give them that. Like, but in the first half, you can go, it's attritional. And looking back at it's much worse than that. But I think, like, in a normal season, in a season that doesn't feel as awful as this is, at half time, you're able to go, oh, listen, it's one of them. And that's fine. Like, that happens even to the best of us, even in our best of moments. You get to go, listen, it's not always your day, it's not always your match. But it's a game in which, like, everything feels like it's happened to illustrate a point that we all have known is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Since November, like, where there is, it's so disjointed. Like, there is no cohesion. Even down to, like, the way Van Dijk is talking to the keeper at 10 minutes in, like, at the best of it, like, where you're just going, like, this is a management and a coaching crisis being played out week upon week upon week, where it's just so unenjoyable. Like, the best bit of that 90 minutes for me was that I realised I'd left my glasses in another bar that I was at earlier in the evening, and I realised at half time I'd have to go and get them.
And they were still there.
They were still there, which is great for me.
That's the best bit.
My Kindle was there as well, so it's great. I can keep reading Killing Thatcher, so that's great for me. But, like, that was a highlight of this evening, was going, like, well, I've got something else to think about. And I know you said we'll get on to the thing we need to talk about at some point, but it feels so apparent for every second and every minute of what we're watching there that, like, that's what we're talking about.
Listen, I think it is fair. For me, Steph, it's another game where we get in half time and I think, I see Ross Barkley come on and I go, yep, that's the right thing to do, because there'll be loads of room for Ross Barkley to play. But it doesn't quite play out that way, actually. Liverpool, again, they start the second half quite brightly. And then the rest of it unfolds. And as Amelia says, it does all feel as though we're actually currently now getting the punchline to a joke that started in November. That was suddenly now getting every single bit of payoff that you might possibly want. That has gone on and on and on. And you're not, if you'd have said to any of us sat watching it, immediately after it goes 1-1, finishes 4-1 to them, you know, not one of us would go, that's insane, how could that happen? And for me, that's the worst thing about them at the minute.
Yeah, so I was in Newcastle today, and I woke up this morning having had an anxiety dream that I'd come back to watch the match. Nobody was where they were meant to be, and every pub that I went to was like, the match isn't happening. And I ended up on 52 minutes going on my phone, oh no, it is, and we're 5-2 down. And the only way that reality was like worse than that is that I had to watch the 52 minutes in real time. I didn't have to watch us losing the dream. And it's really hard to think of cohesive points because, like Amelia said, everything's so disjointed. Nothing makes sense. I'm pissed off at everybody, I think, other than Curtis Jones today. He was the only one that I did want to throttle.
Rio Engamoa.
I don't think he's great for the goal, and I think it shows why, when everybody's been screaming, you know, all the discourse at the weekend against Chelsea, why he's not played as much. I think you saw his naivety there. I thought you saw the poor decision making there, and that's not me slating him. He's a young lad. He's going to make those mistakes, but you saw it really clearly there. Everybody just did my fucking head in, and then the goals happen. We looked at each other when it went 1-1, and you were like, well, I want us to make it 2-1 because that makes it less likely that we lose. And when it went 2-1, as the ball came in just before it went 3-1, I looked at Kev Riley and went, it's 3-1 here, and it bundles, and then it's in the back of the net, and he just looked at me. And it's like, I'm not smart. I've not said anything out of it. It was just that fucking obvious.
It's because all Liverpool stupid. So Liverpool can be tactically stupid. They can be technically stupid. They can make an individual stupid decision. But they can also, today they added psychologically stupid. Let's get them all riled up. Let's cause all sorts of murder. Let's roll around like a bellend for no reason. Let's take time out of the game when it's not there to be taken out of the game. And then let's watch ourselves get punished like a gang of fucking pricks all over again.
So I watched the first half on the train. And did I see, and I might have misread the stat because it was bumpy, did I see that's the third oldest Premier League starting 11?
Yes, Aston Villa's.
And yet, they didn't look that way. We looked like the old, tired, stupid, lack of now. Like, it just did my head in, the whole thing.
Yeah. But what fucks me off is that, and I agree with everything you've said, but there's no one individually that I'm pointing to where I'm like especially frustrated with their performance, which I know sounds mental based on the results, but my issue is that it looks like the first day that any of these players have ever met one another, and that's what fucks me off the most, is that I'm not looking at any individual weak link or looking at any individual player that's let us down or even any area of the pitch where I'm going, well, that needs strengthening in the summer. What fucks me off is that I'm going, there's clear talent in every single area that you can point to, but no one looks like they know how to play together. Like, there is no cohesion. There's no understanding of one another. And that has to be a managerial and a coaching problem.
Do you not hate any of them? I'm impressed almost.
No, I don't, because I don't think it's their fault. It's like they've inherited, like, they've all started a course at uni where the module leader is like, I've never taught this before. This is my first time ever doing this, and I'm meant to get you all through your degree. Like, I just don't. There's moments of frustration, not just tonight, but at various points in the season. But I just really, truly, in my heart, do not feel like I can blame any of them individually. There's just no direction. And this is what I'm saying about November. The writing has been on the wall since then. And yet, here we are.
I keep thinking back to, and I don't mean to do the Klopp slot comparison, but there's a very early FA Cup game under Jurgen Klopp where we go to West Ham. I think it's a replay, and it's all the kids are playing. It's Brad Smith, it's Branigan. It's that time where we're like, I feel like it's 15-16 where we're, you know, playing the kids 1 week and then, because we have the Europa League and we're going for that. And I remember we get beat by West Ham. Well, the Liverpool team shouldn't get beat by West Ham, but I remember coming out of it being so proud of those boys and how they played and how they fought and how they maximised the absolute best of their ability, and they got every ounce out of what they had. And okay, it's a bit biased because that was a Liverpool team very much on the up. We knew what we were doing under Jurgen Klopp, whereas we've started from champions here and now we're coming down. So maybe a little bit of bias there, but that was a Liverpool team who finished, I think, 8th that year. And I came out of those games feeling so proud of those boys, because those boys did not have the ability that these boys have, not even close to it. Not even close to it. But they fought and they strained every sinew out of their ability. Dom Sabuslai is a million times a player Cameron Brannigan will ever be. Ryan Gravenberch, Milos Kerkez is a million times a player that Brad Smith ever was and ever will be. But that manager, I hate to do the manager thing, but that manager got so much out of them. Every last inch out of those players. And I'm looking at a group of really, really talented lads tonight. And yes, mitigating circumstances in terms of how the squad's been left. And Richard Hughes should not get away with any of this, by the way. There's no pace in the wings. We've got a very old and tired Alexis McAllister in midfield who can't run. None of that helps. None of that helps. The injuries don't help. But it's still a significantly better team than what we've put out in the years and in the games I'm talking about. And I just can't legislate for what they're doing. The stupidity of what's happening.
The stupidity of it down to like the best point for us in that is when we're 1-0 down or when we go to 1-1. And like even at that point, we're conceding to players who can shoot from distance, which has been an issue throughout the season. And yet no one is going, how are you closing that down? How are you seeing that before it happens? How are we identifying this issue and like stopping it from happening? And yet, like it's stupidity is what I'm saying. What you're right, it is just, which is why it's inexcusable. But again, it's why I don't blame them, I blame him, that it's like endemic stupidity, not individual stupidity.
No, totally. And I think what you're saying there is just, it's epitomised by the first 20 minutes where, like I say, we're by far second best in that game. Far second best. I understand Villa, they play the full team, they're going to come out, it's their last home game, they've had a good season, they're in a title challenge, they've had a European run, they're going to give it a little bit, I get that. And if Villa go 1-0 up after 20 minutes because they've had a big first 20, ordinarily you can legislate for that, right? But the number of times Gravenberch just lost it in a really silly area, the number of times McAllister just lost it in a really silly area. I mean, there's a point tonight where Aston Villa have a bit of a tactic from a set piece where they play this ridiculous offside trap. Martinez gets it. I hear you in the background going, we're in trouble here. Milos Kerkez
yes,
performs a marvellous bit of defending. And I am no massive fan of Milos Kerkez by any stretch of the imagination. He has yet to convince me. But it's a fantastic bit of defending. And all of a sudden, what's around him? Well, there's 7 Aston Villa players around him, because that's literally the tactic that they've employed from our set piece. There's 7 Aston Villa players around him. There's Kerkez, there's Florian Wirtz, and there's one other Liverpool player.
Jones.
And they try to play it out. It's the most embarrassing piece of defending. Are the most embarrassing. He does in the end, but only because of a bit of luck, because I feel like they don't press quite well enough, or I feel like they miss their tackle. I mean, they do well, but who in their right mind sees a 7v3 and thinks, happy days, we can win this game of possession?
What's also funny is that no other Liverpool player appears to go, oh, hang on, we didn't bother.
No
other Liverpool player, it occurs to them as they run forward. Fuck it out. Got a problem here, boys. The building's on fire. Let's do something about it. No. It's almost like they're all going, all the best, Milos.
Yeah. No, and he does brilliantly, but what happened after is just inexcusable. And, like, the goalkeeper does his absolute best. You can see the silly one tonight.
He's got
an
unfortunate face, hasn't he?
I mean, we keep saying don't pass to his right. I don't think he's very good with his left either. I don't think his distribution's very good.
He's not a real boy, to quote Ben Johnson. He is not a real boy.
I feel like he's not. And like, you look at this season, if Alisson's going to go, I feel like we need to get another goalkeeper in. I don't think he's good enough to be our number one. I really don't. And I'm not convinced on the left back. At right back, I think Frimpong's good for certain games. Is Conor Bradley going to come back the same player? Don't know. Do we need to do something there? We certainly need at least one midfielder, and we need absolute surgery in the forward line. I mean, this season has gone how it's gone because we've tried to do too much. We've ripped up a title-winning side and we've tried to do too much and it's not working, it's been too much, we're going to have to do it again. And it's going to be the exact same again if we keep him. It's going to be burning another season.
Just on the keeper, allow me to bring you back to the best moment of our evening, which was the first 20 minutes of this fixture, which is like, even then, Van Dijk is shouting at him to be like, come out, like, be authoritative, like, fucking own your space, like, do, but like, and we're not expecting you to be Alisson, like, no one's asking you to do that, but it shouldn't come down to Virgil to be telling you to do even an ounce of that. It's not there.
Well, most of the time he doesn't come off his line, and then when he does, it's the most like insane decision you've ever seen.
He's got no hips don't lie. So Amelia's been nice about them. I think my problem with the whole season, and you can start with the really unfortunate circumstance of the season, the deep tragedy with Diogo and Andre. You can put that in there, Steph. You can also talk about Richard Hughes. I'm happy to talk about Richard Hughes. In fact, for me, that is a massive part of this, because I think, for me, the most concerning thing about the season is the fucking wreckage. It's the wreckage. It's the fact that Amelia's been lovely, but I wait now every game in any crowd I'm in for the moment where someone will say, and I could do a sweepstake on it, I fucking hate these. I hate watching these, or some variant thereon. And I got it today on about 63, was when someone cracked and just went, I fucking hate these. And one of the problems is they hate each other. I think they hate themselves. We're beginning to hate them. Nobody likes the fucking manager. The wreckage, I just don't think it's being put into enough context. The decisions that have been made that have led to this point, the wreckage of this season is fucking enormous. And today's another one. And now they've got away from home against the current top nine, lost eight and drawn one. So next year when they go away from home to a good side, they're going to be lacking in confidence. They've got to prove it from minute one. The wreckage is enormous.
And that's such a fall from grace. When you think about when we used to critique Klopp sides and it was always, we're not doing what we need to do against the bottom sides. But you could see where maybe some
we haven't
that,
done that either.
But we haven't done that either. But you could at least hang your hat on some big results and setting that standard and making people afraid to play Liverpool. Everybody wants to play us at the minute.
Oh, what a delight.
I can't fucking blame them. Who have we got? We've got Brentford. Brentford could fill our home allocation next week. If we all gave up our tickets, they'd lap it up because they're going to have a lovely time. I'm going to be off for 95 minutes and have a big
Brentford
cry.
Brentford have got Palace on Sunday at home and you should win. But if I was Brentford, I would be licking my lips at the idea of playing this Liverpool team. Because all you've got to do is nothing fucking daft and they'll give you one. And then if you don't even take that one, just keep doing nothing daft because they'll fucking give you another one. And then they'll give you another one. And then they'll give you another one. And at some point you'll take one.
And they'll give you something stupid in every conceivable way. Like they will give you, they'll give you a goal. They'll give you a stupid, like the McAllister in the box little fake fight going down, all of that. It was embarrassing. It was added 8 minutes of stoppage time to my life that I'm never fucking getting back. That's why I'm not going to forgive him. There's constantly something after, you know, set pieces now. We can concede any kind of goal. You don't need to try. And that for me is the biggest thing. When every season you'd see people see Liverpool as a scalp, and they will come and they will put in 110% to try and get it, even if it puts them at a detriment for the games that follow. And I'm fine with that because we should be a fucking scalp. And this season we should be a fucking scalp because we are the champions. We've won the league last year. Everybody should want to come up against us and beat us. The problem that I've got now is we are rolling over, belly out, and going, take four goals. Why not? And we've got fuck all to pay in return. It's taken Virgil, two basically identical headers? And I like the fact that you both forgot what the score actually was. Neither of you care enough to remember that it was 4-2. It was 4-2.
Yes,
because it was fucking meaningless. And actually, Verge looked embarrassed to have put it in the net again. It was Chiesa that carries the ball back to the centre circle.
I'm not asked.
Because Verge is like, I've now got to go and do all the post-match interviews now because I've made the mistake of scoring two fucking goals that are meaningless.
Yeah. You made a promise at the start of this. I'm gonna take you back to Scotty Snooker Hall on Sunday, where several fellas asked you this, and I'll ask you it again, Neil. He's got to go.
Well, that's what all people ask me. Everywhere I go, I can't walk into a building in the city at the minute without someone stopping me to say, he's got to go.
And when I try to send a parcel.
Genuinely, and when I try to explain this to some people online who still want to stick by him, and I think that it's really admirable, those who still want to stick by him. I genuinely do, and I understand why. I understand a bit of an argument around continuity. One of the issues with the argument around continuity is it's worth saying that Schlott, Richard Hughes and Michael Edwards have all got contracts that run out in 57 weeks. Yeah. So if you want to make an argument around continuity, there's actually a ticking clock on the continuity argument anyway. We are literally, quite literally, 6 weeks away from them all having less than a year left on the contract. But if you want to make that argument is being made in some places. I've got some sympathy for it and the idea of that not being us as a club. My view has been, not that he's got to go, my view has been he will go.
Yeah, he will.
And my view remains that he will go at the end of this campaign.
Well, that's got to be part of it. Sorry to cut across you. I mean, that has to be part of it. They're briefing the media that they're not going to sack him, that they back him.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that part of that is that they're putting the onus on him. They're saying, well, listen, we're not going to pay you and your boys out. We're not going to pay Richard Hughes out. We're not going to pay Michael Edwards out. If you're going to go, it's on your terms. Do you really want another year of this?
It's about culture.
Yeah.
It's about who we are. Like, you can look at Chelsea, you can look at any teams that do the fucking manager merry-go-round, and you get to go, oh, that's not us. But you can also, like...
Well, it's two cultural things pushing against each other. One is that you don't want to be the club that makes rash decisions. You get yourself into trouble. All those arguments, you want to have continuity, you want to have common sense, you don't want to get caught chasing your own tail all the time, and you don't want to feel like you're chasing the next fashionable thing. That's one cultural argument. The other cultural argument is you don't want to be fucking rubbish at football. And these two cultural arguments are pushing against one another because Liverpool are fucking rubbish at football. But the other part of this is, for me, it's more the wreckage. I think it's really hard to imagine. I don't think it's as simple as the season doesn't finish and everyone's memory, both ours, the supporters, the players themselves, him, his coaching staff, the opposing teams, everyone's memory is not fucking wiped when the league table goes back to zero.
I mean, the only thing I would say on that is, yes, the summer break doesn't solve anything, but what you got to remember is what happens last summer does happen within the summer break.
Yeah.
So they don't get a break. They don't get 3 weeks off because this thing happens in the middle of it and that consumes them for the
entire And it ruins pre-season as well.
It ruins pre-season, but you could get three weeks of them actually having a proper break. And I do think that will help. I don't think it'll solve everything, but I do think that will help. And I understand this isn't very sort of post-match show chat, but if you look at the sporting director, that is his role, isn't it? Sporting director,
Hughes.
So he comes in, and his first summer, he messes up the Zubimendi deal. We only signed Federico Chiesa. Fair play, Arne Slot does what he can with the team.
Well, then, and he is responsible for the appointment of Arne Slot, who goes on and wins the league.
Fine, but the three contracts rumble right the way on until May, to the point at which, of course, we're enjoying winning the league, but not everyone, it would look quite like that sorted, and I feel like that could have been sorted earlier than such. He then rips up a title winning team and builds this, and this isn't very good. And I just sort of feel like it's all well and good saying he should be sacked, and I do want him to go, but firstly, do I back him to make the right decision on whether he should stay or should he go? No. And do I back him to make the right decision on who should come in as their replacement?
Your point, though, is I think at the minute one of the problems is the whole football club from top to bottom, and this is what I talk about, it's about the record of the season. I include stuff like everything from how hard it is to distribute a ticket, to the ticket price thing, to currently where we are with the view on Richard Hughes, where you are on... The point being here is that everyone's lost confidence in Liverpool. The people who support Liverpool have lost confidence in Liverpool. But also, I feel like the people who play for Liverpool have lost confidence in Liverpool. If I was Arne Slot, I'd be well with me, right? So I have no fucking confidence in the people above me going into next season. Let's be clear about this. If I was Arne Slot, I'd be going, what are we sorting out here, boys? I think that this is my big concern. It is the wreckage. I'll keep using the phrase the wreckage because I still think these pricks are going to get Champions League. I think UEFA should step in and say no. They should say no, but they won't. So they're going to get Champions League, and that is the club's number one, always bottom line KPI. So he's getting the Champions League next season. So they've hit the number one KPI, but all the ones underneath, they've not hit a single one of them. And that, to me, is the problem. The wreckage is enormous.
But there has to be some understanding and some appreciation of how we've qualified for the Champions League. We've qualified for the Champions League because everyone else is rubbish. And I understand that's always the case.
The team who finishes
fourth always feels that that's the case. But we finished fifth here because we think that Bournemouth and Brighton are going to win.
I think you'll still come fourth.
They play City in the last game, and then we play Brentford. I'm not sure we're getting the job done against Brentford. But regardless and irrespective of what I've said on this show, I feel like I'm quite a rational man around the football. I feel like I've only ever lost my head once in Anfield, and that was when Richarlison went down for the third time in the first half of the 2-0 win against Everton in 21-22. With everything that's gone on this season, with Hughes outside the ground, with difficulty distributing the tickets, with what we've seen on the pitch, if I see Michael Coyote take 2 minutes to walk up to take a throw-in, then walk to the other end of the city to buy a towel to dry the ball, walk half an hour back to take a throw, I feel like my head might explode this Sunday. And that feels like no way to say goodbye to Mo Salah, Andy Robertson, and whoever else.
Will you do me a favour and just say towel one more time?
Towel.
Thank you.
It's a great Jason Manford sketch.
Who was your Curtis Jones of the match?
Curtis Jones.
Who was your Curtis Jones of the match?
Yeah, it is Curtis, isn't it? Yeah, it is Curtis.
Curtis Jones of the match?
It's Rio Ngamoa. He's so fucking strong and he's like 12 years old. Let's be real. There's so many points this season on various shows, like post-match or otherwise, where I've said, there's so little to enjoy of this season, so let's talk about the good things. And one of the good things is that, like, Rio Ngamoa seemingly has the strength of a teenage Ninja Mutant Turtle. Like, he's so fucking strong and present and dominant and, like, I don't know, the things that we are lacking that, like, I don't know, if we, that's still there. We can be as desperate as we want. Not just in Curtis, but in him. Like, that spirit, that is still there.
Okay.
The things that I actually enjoyed in the match was when Villa were trying to have our goal ruled out because Ngamoa was fouling one of their lads. And I'm like, hang on. John McGinn's arse is bigger than the whole of Rio Ngamoa. You can't be arguing that he's fouled anybody. And then I actually enjoyed John McGinn having a nice time, to be honest. I know it's an unpopular thing to say, apart from in present company.
It's a magnificent ass.
I hope he goes on and has a lovely time in a European final and has a nice time. Well done, John McGinn.
Okay, thank you very much indeed to Donatello, to Michelangelo, to Raphael. This has been Leonardo. That's been your post-match.